We're so blessed and so pleased to have Pastor Kristen Williams back again from Hope Tauranga. He drove up this morning, so but he's still looking very fresh. So, Kristen, please come. Give him a hand, everyone.
Good morning. Good morning. Wasn't that just a marvelous time of worship and communion? I just thank you. Thank you for leading us. Where'd the gentleman go that just led us in communion? You go. Where'd Roger go? Oh, there he is. God bless you, Roger, and Kenny and the team. Goodness gracious me. So, good morning. It's nice to be here. Driving up from Tauranga, that's no problem. My son was with me, and he's just nipped off. He bought a surfboard, so he's just nipped off to go and get that, and he's racing back as quick as he can. So that's a way, you know, where he doesn't have to pay for the gas to pick up a surfboard he bought in Auckland. I don't feel like a guest here. I really don't. I'm not going to talk to you like I'm a guest. I'm not going to be on my best guest behavior. And I hope that you won't feel like you've got a guest here either, because even before I started coming in and visiting you on Sundays so frequently, I have such a history in this room too, and so you are in great danger today, because I had a perfectly this is my first preaching for the year. Like I've tried to warm up on our church back home a couple of times, but for me, I travel and preach roughly 2 to 3 times a month, and this is the first one of the year. So, let's just loosen up a little bit. And the other thing is, I had a perfectly good message and a backup message, and then the Lord gave me another message during the worship time, which is why when Kenny was almost ordering us to dance, he wasn't, you know, that was like, if you don't dance, I'm going to come and get you and make you dance. But I was busy writing down what I've written down, so help us, Lord Jesus. By the way, what was my friend who met me at the front door, what's your name again, sir? Karika? I like that. My boat is called Karakia, which is a bit similar to Karika. I know that you know this, and I know that the church will know this, but the Spirit of the Lord really rests on you. And immediately I was thinking, like, as you were handing out the communion, I just, you know, you have a servant heart, and you have a great anointing on you. And it reminded me when in the book of Acts they had to appoint. The apostles had to appoint some people to deal with the practicalities of the ministry. And it says here, brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you, and you can put women in there too, of course, who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. And they gave those men in that time that ministry. One of them was the fine apostle Stephen. And I just see there is great grace and great anointing on you. And you serve humbly, and you gave me the warmest welcome at the front door, and I enjoyed that. But you have a great sense and a great... The Spirit of the Lord rests on you, my brother. And I would say to the church, watch the space. Watch and see what God will do with this kind... humble man sitting back here. So here we are, it's 2024, February. If those of you that get up early in the morning, you'll notice that the days are already getting shorter, although there's no sign at the moment of winter. It's just, I don't know what it's been like here, but in Tauranga it has just been hot, and then hot, and then hotter. And it's been humid, and then it's been humid, and then it's been more humid. And so we're getting into the year ahead, and I believe that this year is going to be a year of great contrasts. Peter Robertson has always said, and you will know this from the Word of God, that the day of the Lord's return is called the great and terrible day of the Lord. Depending on which side of the equation you're on that day, it will be great or it will be terrible. I had a dream during the summer. We had all our family at home, so the house was busy, and I zipped away in a quiet moment for the priceless grandpa nap. I'm a grandfather now, so I can legitimately have a grandpa nap. And I had a grandpa nap, and in that sort of half awake, half asleep, I had this clear dream about the day of the return of the Lord, as if I was alive on that day, looking up, seeing coming in the clouds. And there was no, in the dream, like the emotions were so strong, there was no like, meh. It was like this roar of excitement and, you know, the faithfulness of God and the gloriousness of Jesus appearing in the clouds. And I woke up still with that, with all that joy and emotion, and it was overwhelming. So depending on which side of that you are on, the day of the Lord is great for those that have been waiting for Him, or terrible for those that have been rejecting Him. And Peter has said this to us many times. He said, between now and the great and terrible day of the Lord, the days will become increasingly great and increasingly terrible. There will be a contrast. There will be more grace poured out, but there will also be more turmoil in the world around us. And we can already see that happening, can't we? Would you say that 2021, 2022, 2023 were those years that were plain sailing? Hello? How many of you saw some, look, have you run out of voice because of the worship? How many of you saw some turmoil in the nation? And there has been great turmoil. And I don't think we should anticipate necessarily that that will stop. But what we want to see is that great grace will be poured out, that there will be a contrast. I believe that the year ahead is going to be a year of battles and victories. And I just want to lay out a couple of things that I really believe the Lord is putting on my radar for the year ahead, and so I want to put it on your radar. I believe that God has a question for the church. And the question is a simple and obvious question, and it's this: who or what will you trust? Who or what will you trust? Hebrews 12, 26 and 27 says this, God speaking, once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. And He says that He's doing it so that He's going to shake everything, so that what cannot be shaken will remain. How many of you remember when the lockdowns came? Wasn't that fun? Especially for those of you in Auckland, you got like a double, triple, quadruple blessing. But when the lockdowns came, I don't know if you noticed it, but I remember, like, I don't pay much attention to my KiwiSaver, but I had a quick look at it one day and I was like, oh, because my KiwiSaver was shaken. You know, like it had been going along and then suddenly it was like there was a lot less of it. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. So if I'm trusting in my KiwiSaver, then I can be shaken. What will we build our lives on? Like I got a very warm greeting and handshake from some of the young men that were over here. For the young people, what will they build their lives on? I'm talking to my son about that as we're driving up today. What will you build your life on? What will we trust in to see the goals achieved that we have even in the church? What will we trust in for the nation? You know, will we trust in a new government? Will we trust in, in the status quo that we've known? Will we look and go, well, things just carry on and it doesn't seem to change? Or will we trust in the Lord? And this is the thing. I believe this is the primary battle that the church has this year. And it's going to sound really obvious, but it's the battle to focus on Jesus. Like Kenny was singing and urging us to do before, this is the primary battle for the church this year. And when we win this battle, there will be more anointing. As we win this battle, as we stop focusing on all the things that can distract us and all the other things that we can tend to rely on, but as we focus in and we actually go, you know what, all our eggs are in one basket. We are redeemed by the blood of Jesus.
We are saved by the cross of Jesus Christ. We are, the breath in our lungs is from Him, because in Him we live and move and have our being. As we win that battle to focus in on Jesus, there is going to be great anointing released, and the church will come to have total reliance on that anointing. Friends, there's going to be great change this year. Great change. You know, one of the things that is changing, someone say, yay, yeah, amen, yay. I don't understand the Christians that are like, oh, praise God, let's get back to normal. I'm like, normal wasn't that good. Worship. I had this dream the other night. See, I'm getting older now, so I'm dreaming. I had this dream the other night, and I was in a church somewhere, and it was a very familiar setting, and we were singing, you know, contemporary worship songs. I'm not opposed to those. But we were singing contemporary worship songs. And I was there, and I was in this meeting, and there was a lot of enthusiasm. There was great lights, and there was a beautiful display on the screen. And we were singing these contemporary worship songs. And then suddenly in the dream, it changed. And everyone just started singing the old chorus, Be Glorified. And as we sang Be Glorified, now some of you are thinking, aha, the formula is old songs. No, the formula is focus on Jesus. A lot of our new songs we sing about ourselves. I'm this, I'm that, I'm going here, I'm. Be glorified. Be thou glorified. And as we sang that, the anointing changed. And it was so strong and overwhelming that when I woke up, that anointing was still there. Something is changing in worship. And I have this word for you, VCC. I believe that as the worship continues to go in the direction that it's already going, and it becomes more and more Jesus-focused, where we are singing, exalt the Lord, not bless me, I believe there's going to be such anointing on the worship that there will be a residue that will affect people that hire this room. I believe there will literally come questions, what is it in that room? Because people will come and they will feel it. One of the other things that I believe is going to begin to shift this year is some stuff to do with the young people. I know I harp on about this, but a couple of years ago I was here, and during the worship I was kneeling down like somewhere right here, and the worship was going on, and suddenly it was like the whole room was filled with young people. I could hear them, you could just sense their presence. And I believe something is up with young people. I think the enemy thinks he owns them. He thinks they are like his treasured possession. Bless you, bro. Great time, man. I think he thinks they are his treasured possession, but I believe he's about to begin to lose his grip. I'll tell you something really weird. I told you I was going to talk to you differently today. In 1994, I was a youth pastor, and I was traveling around all over New Zealand, because I was a youth pastor in Howick, and I was traveling all over New Zealand speaking to youth groups. And back in those days, I was all over the place, just driving here and driving there and preaching. A gentleman that is a big part of my life, he said, you need to stop going to them and you need to provide a context for them to come to you. It's a little bit like Moses' father-in-law. What you're doing is not good. You're going to hurt yourself. You need to. So we put on a conference. And I thought, if we put on a youth conference, who's going to come to our youth conference? To cut a long story short, 3 years later, 4,000 people came. All these young people, young leaders, young adults, we did these conferences all over New Zealand for 10 years. And then the season for that came to an end. Well, guess what? We're doing another one next month. Just, I had never thought I would be involved in something like that again. And then suddenly, I wind up with all these crazy younger leaders around me saying, we want to do those conferences we did back in the day. They were called Redline. They're saying, we want to do Redline 2.0. And I looked at them and said, you're nuts. And they said, we are nuts, but we want to do this. And so we're doing it. Something is up with the young people. There's going to be a testimony of God's grace and restoration, like a burning, shining lamp, like John the Baptist, in the midst of this company of young people living in darkness in New Zealand. So, that's what I'm seeing and believing. There are, you know, there's a lot more, but that's what I believe, some of what I believe is happening this year. Now I want to talk to you about you. You go, well, praise God, because it's all about me. Some of you probably know a good friend of mine, Matt Lansdowne. He was in Tauranga yesterday, and we went for a walk on the beach. And while we were walking on the beach, he said this to me. He said, he was telling me that he went to Bethel in Reading and was over there for 3 years. And when he came back, he said, I'd known him before that, but he said, I really came back determined to connect with you again. And he said this, he said, I wanted to connect with you because you never swayed from the Holy Spirit. That's what he said to me. And you go, well, that's a grand compliment. But then I proceeded to tell him for about the next 10 minutes about times when I did. I'll give you an example. My wife and I led a team that planted a church in Pakuranga. And we planted that church in the midst of a move of the Holy Spirit. On a smaller scale, it was like how this church was birthed in the midst of a move of the Holy Spirit. And so we planted this church in the midst of a move of the Holy Spirit, and it grew quite rapidly from a little group of wide-eyed radical nutters. That's a compliment in revival circles. Someone says to you, oh, you're a bit of a nutter in a revival circle, and you go, yeah. You say it in other circles, and you're like, what? And it grew quite quickly, and we got a nice building, and the church grew, and then it sort of plateaued. And around that time, there were voices beginning to emerge all around New Zealand, quite strong, saying, if you want to grow your church, you need to follow this model. This is how you grow your church. And it involved being, you know, being really excellent at this and having this strategy. And at that time, we'd planted this church and just had been going with the Holy Spirit. And then when it plateaued, and I really wanted it to grow because I was of the opinion that if it's God, it'll be big. I'm not of that opinion anymore, by the way. But when it plateaued, I started getting really swayed by all these voices saying, if you want your church to grow, you need to do it this way. Then, a little while later, the Lord moved me and my family to Lower Hutt to be with Seth Fawcett. How many of you know Seth? Seth's in Europe right now, rampaging. And that's really, I mean, he should call his ministry rampaging, shouldn't he? Because he's a rampager. I love Seth. So I moved down to be with Seth. And for 4 years, I was his 2IC, his associate pastor. And I loved being there. And, you know, there were crazy things going on. And then on one occasion, because I was running like an internship there, I had a friend of mine from another church come to speak. And he came in and he was there and he was quite sharp, you know, like he was very sharp. And before he got up to speak, Seth made a mess of the whole meeting. Can you imagine that? You can't imagine that, can you? He was praying for people and he was being held up and my friend after the meeting, he said to me, "Oh, I'm just not sure about all that, mate." He says, I'm a bit worried about you being here. I'm just not sure that that's right. And you know what happened? At Sowed a Seed. And for a period of time, I was a little bit like, I'd see Seth and I'd see people holding him up. And I was like, what do I really think about that? And I'd see him and I'd see stuff going on. And I was swayed again. How many of you know in Isaiah 30:21, it says, talking about walking a path, if you turn to the left or if you turn to the right, you will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. So God is saying, if you begin to sway off the path, guess what? You're going to hear me. I'm going to speak and I'm going to say, hey, son, hey, daughter, get back over here. Isn't that good news? Too many Christians get paralyzed. I don't know what God's saying. Start walking. Start walking. Start moving. I said this to my son. I said, you know, if we're out on the boat and the motor's not running, I can turn the steering wheel all I like and the boat can't move in any particular direction. But once the propeller's moving, once I start moving, a lot of Christians are paralyzed, sitting still, I can't move until God speaks. Begin walking. If you turn left or right, you'll hear a voice behind you. So I had swayed, and this is the voice behind me. I had a dream. Even though I was much younger then, I had a dream. And in the dream, I was at one of these really flash, big, contemporary church conferences. All my friends were there, you know, like my friends that were youth pastors and other leaders. They were all there, and we were at this conference, and it was packed, and there was a great vibe, and again, you know, beautiful stage and amazing exhorting speaking, and it was just a great time. And in the dream, I was really hungry. Man, I was hungry. And they had laid out, in the session in between out in the foyer, they'd laid out a great buffet of food set out on tables. And so I was so hungry, I went out there and I got myself a plate, and there were people milling around all the tables, and every time I got to the table to reach for the food, the plate was empty. And I was just getting so frustrated because I was so hungry. Everyone else was eating, but every time I got there, And I woke up, and as I woke up, it started in the dream, and then I heard it awake. I heard the Lord say, there's nothing for you here. And so I had to spend some time going, what is this here? And I'll tell you what I think it is. I think it's human effort to build the church. I think it's worldly strategies to grow the church. I think it's marketing to draw in a bigger crowd. I think it's that model. And I'm not saying there's nothing for anybody, but I knew that the Lord said to me, there's nothing for you here. And why? Because I had swayed from staying in step with the Holy Spirit. Listen to this passage. Galatians 3, 1 to 3. This is Paul speaking to a church that he planted. And he says this to them, you foolish Galatians. Well, good morning to you too. Can you imagine if I'd started my message like that this morning? You foolish BCC. I'm not saying that, by the way, but how many of you know that really sets the tone, doesn't it? You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Holy smokes. This guy's not holding back. He goes on to explain it this way. Are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to achieve your goal by human effort? Bewitched. Witchcraft is literally a counterfeit spiritual power, a counterfeit spiritual authority. It's spiritual power and authority aside from the one true source, which is Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. And he says, if you're trying to achieve your goal by human effort, you've been bewitched. Just take a moment. Look around this grand room that we're in. Look around. Like literally, go and have a look around. Look around. It's a very big room, isn't it? It's probably about the biggest or close to the biggest church auditorium in our whole country. This building will be filled. But not merely by human effort. Think about the history of this very room. I've told you this before. Forgive me. I'm a grandpa, so I'm allowed to repeat myself. I was in my 20s, sitting up in that back corner there at one of the meetings where John and Carol Arnott were here. I was way up there. I was lucky that I got in because I nearly wound up over the harbour at the then Takapuna Assembly of God, and I didn't want to watch stuff on video. I was up there, minding my own business, and the last thing I saw before it was lights out for ages was Carol Arnott, who's not very large. She's coming towards me with her hand up like this, and the moment she put her hand on my head, it was lights out, and when I came to, they were vacuuming. I was talking to Peter Robertson again this week, and he was reminding me of a meeting that happened, and he was right here on the stage, and the anointing was so strong, the microphone was like a hot potato. Whoever got the microphone, they were trying to get someone just to start the meeting off, but everyone who held the microphone got blitzed by the power of God, and it even wound up on that occasion, would you believe, with Bill Sobritsky lying on this stage, flat on his back with his legs in the air, pedaling. Peter went on to tell me, he said, in those days, he said, the sound of singing in the Spirit and the anointing that was released as a whole building full of people sang in the Spirit, he says, it was out of this world. He said it was the most powerful anointing he's ever felt in his life. You know what we're sitting in here is not a building. This is just a gigantic barometer. It's a barometer of revival in our nation. So guess what? We need the Holy Spirit. We don't want to fill this building by witchcraft. This building must be filled by the work of the Holy Spirit, not human marketing or human strategies. I mean, we could fill this church tomorrow. We could call a Monday meeting and fill this church tomorrow if we said every person that comes gets $1,000. But that's not going to make disciples. That's just going to make consumers. We need the Holy Spirit. Now, the moment I say that, not necessarily here. Are you doing okay so far? We all right? Good. Good. Thank you, because you're a wonderful church, and I love being a part of you. But you're a very good church too. In some places, when you say, actually, we need the Holy Spirit, there's this controversy rises up. What about Jesus? I had one guy in our church back home. I was preaching and I said, we need the Holy Spirit. And he came up to me afterwards and he says, well, you know what? Jesus has had his day. I'm immediately like, where are you going, buddy? And then he said, the Holy Spirit has had his day, and this is the day of the Father. And I was like, dude, that's an unnecessary, unbiblical controversy. Look at this. See, some people talk about the Trinity like there's competition and ranking. But you know, the Bible makes it clear that there is perfect unity and humility within the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Look at this. John 5:19, this is Jesus the Son saying this. He says, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees the Father doing. So would you agree that in that statement, the Father is the top of the pile? What about this? Philippians 2:9. God has exalted Jesus highly and given him the name which is above every name. Literally, this is saying the Father has given the Son the name that is above every name. So on this occasion, Jesus is the top of the pile. And then look at this mysterious one. Matthew 12:32. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son will be forgiven, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven. And so on this occasion, you could make the case that here is the Holy Spirit being treated as like the most important or the top of the pile. And in Philippians 1:19, it says this, it says the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Can you see there's no competition? Some people have said this, and I don't know, maybe you could make the case. They've said, oh, you can't pray to the Holy Spirit. Pray to the Father, through the Son, by the Spirit. And I'm like, that's too complicated. There is perfect unity, beautiful humility within the Trinity. Won't it be nice when there is perfect unity and beautiful humility also within the church? So right now, here today, you know this, the Father is on His throne in the heavenly realms. Amen? Jesus the Son is at the Father's right hand on His Father's throne, waiting for the day when He will sit on His throne, the throne of David in Jerusalem. God the Father is on His throne in the heavenly realms. God the Son is on the Father's throne in the heavenly realms. God the Holy Spirit, the uncreated, immeasurable, everlasting third person of the Trinity, He is here in this room. And if you are born again, He lives in you. We need the Holy Spirit. We need His voice. We need His work. We need His activity. We need His enabling. VCC was born in the Holy Spirit. Listen, there is a difference between me and my dear friend Patrick. Can you see that there is an ethnic difference between me and my dear friend Patrick? I was born European, Caucasian, Pākehā, New Zealander. Okay? Now, we both live in the same country, and we both speak English, albeit with a slightly different accent. But the way that you were born, I'm born as a white European Kiwi Pākehā New Zealand. I'm going to be that my whole life. You were born in the Spirit. This church has been protected from falling into witchcraft and trying to achieve a goal by human effort. You've been protected from crusading people that have tried to take over and tried to get their hands on things. Why have you been protected? How do we get from here to where God is going to take you? Very, very simple. Zechariah 4:6. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. So I want to remind you of a couple of things, and then we're going to bring this in for a landing. 1 Timothy 1:18. So this is Paul writing to Timothy, who he addresses like a son. He says, Timothy, my son, I'm giving you this command, listen, in keeping with the prophecies made about you, so that by recalling them, you may fight the battle well. That tells us something about prophecy that's becoming quite unfamiliar in the contemporary church. Prophecies have become like this little sugar rush, like a little shot of spiritual caffeine. I'm feeling a bit down, I'm feeling a bit flat. I'll go to church and maybe someone will have a prophecy for me that'll perk me up a little bit. If you need a bit of a perk up, probably what you need is not a prophecy, you just need a word of exhortation. We all need that from time to time. Have you ever had a day that left you feeling like a bit deflated? Hello? Just me and Sue. You ever had one of those? Have you ever felt like you get it wrong more than you get it right? Like you fail more than you succeed? Ever had that? It's just me and Warwick now. The rest of you, I don't believe you. Life has a way of giving you a bit of a hiding, and sometimes you do feel that way, and sometimes you do kind of inwardly walk into church all bent over under the weight of everything. And what you need is you need a word of exhortation, that word from the Word, or that word that is prophetic, that comes and it just gives you fresh strength. That thing that stands you up on the inside. And that's a good thing, I'm not diminishing that. But prophecy is not that. Prophecy is a roadmap. Prophecy is where God comes and He says, I'm laying out for you the things that are ahead. This is where I'm taking you. And sometimes you are just going to simply have to remember those prophecies by remembering them so that you can fight the battle well. You've got to stay true individually and corporately as a church. You've got to stay true to the prophecies made about you. What has God said to you, to your family, to this church? Because by remembering, which is not just reminiscing, but by remembering, you will fight the battle well. When a long period of time goes past, you can begin as an individual, you can begin to think your best days are behind you. When a long time goes past, those of you that perhaps recall the wild days in the mid-90s, when this place was just packed day after day after day, it was, you know, and wild things were, a long time goes by, you can begin to reminisce about the heyday and actually forget about the prophecies. Do you think the enemy works pretty hard to stop us remembering prophecies? I think he does, because I think he doesn't want you to fight well. I think he wants you to flail about because you can't remember what God has said. That's what happened to me when I began to be swayed from the Spirit. When I began to look at Seth and go, oh, I'm not sure about that. I prefer my ministry. Ouch, isn't that? Just like even saying that, I'm like, ouch. Or when I started looking at our church at the river, planted and born in revival, and I'm starting to look at it and go, we need better marketing. And I'm like, what am I doing? You go back, what has God said? What has God said? Even in His Word, what has God said about the nation that we live in? Quite literally, the ends of the earth. The furthest nation on the planet from Israel. Interestingly enough, I think I told you this, Tauranga, the furthest city on earth from Jerusalem. Isn't that weird? 16,488 kilometers. It's the furthest city. I think they measure a city by over 50,000. Furthest city from Jerusalem. Isaiah 24:16, from the ends of the earth. We, who's we? Israel, here singing glory to the righteous one. A testimony that's come from the cross, from the temple in Jerusalem where the Holy Spirit was poured out, like a shockwave all the way to the ends of the earth, and then the echo of it goes back and they go, we hear. Psalm 22:27, all the ends of the earth will remember and return to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow before Him. We stand and we remind the Lord, we remember these things. But then we also remember times. I remember a time, and I'm talking about him a bit, and I'm going to go and see him after this for a milkshake. But I'm talking a bit about Peter Robertson. And I remember a time when I was sitting in a crowd. Again, I was right up the back. I spent a lot of time up the back in those days. And I'm looking at Peter, and he was preaching, holding this big stick. This big stick with a metal spike on the end of it that some prophet gave him. And he's carrying the stick, and I'm looking at him and I'm going, man, you're freaking me out. Some of you are looking at me like that. I haven't even got a stick. And I'm sitting there and he gives this altar call, and I'm like, I'm not going to that altar call. I'm staying away from you. You're freaky. And the next thing I hear, Kristen Williams. I still to this day don't know how he knew my name, but he called me down the front. You remember those things and you remember what he said. I remember the time I was standing next to him in one of our Redline conferences, minding my own business. And he turned to me and he says, do you remember Murray Thompson? And I said, well, I don't remember him, but I know of him. Murray Thompson was a Māori prophet and an evangelist who rampaged all over New Zealand. Peter told me a story about Murray once, where they were up in the Bay of Islands, up at Paihia. And he and Murray were walking along one day, and it was a Sunday morning, and the local Anglican church was having their morning service. And Moody Thompson, he had a little bit of, you know, rah to him. And he stands up. So there's a fence around the church, and he stands up on the fence like this, and he starts yelling, "To the Church of Henry Williams, awake." Henry Williams, the great missionary founding pioneer. "To the Church of Henry Williams, awake." Someone opened the door, one of the deacons or something, opened the door and said, "Hey, be quiet." And Moody yelled out and shook his fist and said, "Get stuffed." And Peter talks to me about him, and then we're standing there, and he takes his jacket off, and he throws his jacket around me, and he says, I pray, God, that you would release some of that mantle of Moody Thompson that Moody passed to me. Put it on him." And I just got poleaxed and hit the floor. And you remember that stuff. And so when I go into a church where I'm being, you know, like, I love you guys, but some churches I go into and I feel like a bulldozer. Keith Green says, if the church is a body, I feel like an elbow. And that's what I feel like. I'm always going in there and I'm elbowing and pushing and, you know, And then I remember why that is. There is a reason this church is still here. There is a reason you are a part of it. There is a reason why Kenny leads the worship like that. There is a reason why. And we cannot be swayed from the Spirit. We must remember to stay in the flow of the Holy Spirit, because the way this church was birthed is the only way that it will continue and the only way that it will fulfill the calling that God has. Okay, I've got one more thing, but Kenny, do you want to just bring your team? We doing all right? Praise God. Very good. I'm feeling less rusty now. Jonathan's got great anointing on him too. Can even just see there's a sense of God's anointing active on you there right now, mate. So I just get yourself, you know, just be receiving. You know, there's a lot of stuff that God is going to begin to do now that's not going to be centralized around the front. There's going to be a lot of stuff that will happen in worship. There's going to be a lot of stuff as people pray for those alongside, like what Kenny had us do earlier. I'm a bit intrigued by this couple sitting right here. I can't really see your faces, but I have the sense that God is marking you with something. I don't know what it is, but He's marking you. I imagine there's been a degree of turbulence for you in the last year or so, as God's bringing you to a point where He is marking you for something. Before, you know, Don't run away. If you wouldn't mind, I'd love to just lay hands on you too, if that would be all right. Come find me. You ready for one more thing? Good. Who's ever prayed for a sign? You ever prayed for a sign, like a sign from God? A few years ago, when we were living in Auckland, this is nearly 20 years ago, I was praying for a sign. And I had to pick. It was a time when we had invited Bobby Connor from America to come and preach in our church, and so I was driving out to Auckland Airport to pick Bobby up, you know, early in the morning, for all the flights from America come in early. And it was a really windy day, and I'm literally driving to the airport praying for a sign about a particular decision. And I drive in and I collect the parking ticket and drive into the car park at Auckland International Airport. And as I drive in, there's one of these gigantic, big, like 20-foot wide billboards on a central pillar. And as I'm driving in, the wind catches it, and it comes crashing down about 3-4 meters in front of my car. And I'm like, "Wah!" And I'm going, "What was that?" And I heard the Lord say, "It's a sign." So that big billboard was caught by the wind and it came crashing down, and it was for me a sign. weirdly, I never actually stopped to look at what was written on the sign. I was so freaked out by the whole thing. God gave me a sign, but I never looked at it. Here's what I believe. You remember the story of Moses and the burning bush? Remember the burning bush? And what's it say? It says Moses noticed this bush and he turned aside. The bush was burning but not consumed. Here's an interesting fact that I read about, is that because the desert that they were in is so dry and it gets so hot, spontaneous combustion of a little bush is not uncommon. So it would have been not uncommon to see a bush burn, and the normal thing would be the bush catches fire, burns the ground, goes out. But this bush wasn't being consumed, it just kept burning. So it's possible Moses saw it a few times before he actually went over. That bush might have been sitting there like a sign, just burning. And finally Moses turns aside and he wanders over and he goes, what's the deal with this weird bush? It's burning, but it's not consumed. I believe this. I believe VCC is a sign. I believe VCC has been a mystery to much of the Church of New Zealand. Even perplexing certain parts of the church. But the destiny of this church is not to perplex, but to amaze. Like when Moses turned aside and was like, what's the deal with that bush? I believe, and I would even prophesy this, there will come a time when the body of Christ will begin to turn aside and look. They won't look because of your grand building or because of any great marketing or social media strategy. They will look because you were burning but not consumed. People will come with this question. They will go, why did you persevere for all those years? And then they'll come and they'll go, oh, that's why. And at that day, it will have been worth it all. How many of you have been in this church more than 10 years? Thank you. How many more than 20? Thank you. How many more than 20? Okay. I bet you there have been days when you've wondered if it's worth it. I just want to speak this over you. VCC will stand as a humble, unrelenting, booming testimony to the faithfulness of God regarding His Word and His words. And VCC will be and must be a booming testimony and a living declaration of not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit. And my friends, VCC as a church is only that when the living stones are that. Can I encourage you, would you stand please? I want you to take a moment before we pray, just take a moment to reflect about all the different things that we can rely on. Just personally for a moment, before we think about church, just personally. We can rely on our job security or our financial nest egg, or maybe our reliance is on the government or whatever it is. I want you to just think for a moment about all the different things we can rely on. All the different things that we can look to get us to where we want to go or where we believe we're supposed to go. You know, the Bible says of us that we were created and God planned good works in advance for us to do. So you are created to do good works. You are created for a purpose. I want you to just do a stock take for a moment of all the things that we can rely on to do what we've been made to do. And may I ask you to consider this, are you willing to actually let go of all of those and return to, it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my Spirit. Lord, I'm laying down my confidence in my spiritual pedigree, my religious reputation. I'm laying down trusting even in my own piety. I just lay that down. Lord, I return today to not by might, not by power, by my Spirit. Now, church, as you stand there as an individual living stone, just open your hands, open your heart, receive again the Holy Spirit. Individually, right where you stand. Holy Spirit, you're here, I receive you. Holy Spirit, you are the third person of the Trinity, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the good gift given by the Father. You are the power source when the Father said through the Son, let there be light. You were the power source that created stars and galaxies. And I receive you today, Holy Spirit. I love you. You're not a million miles away. You're here. You're closer than my skin. And I receive you. I lay down my turning aside, my swaying. I lay down my witchcraft. And I come back and I say, it's you, it's you. You are the one who has sustained me this far. And you are the one who will see me through. You are the one who has enabled me so far. And you are the one that will get me to the destination. I renounce all other sources that I might trust. And I trust in you, Holy Spirit. I receive you. Just receive the Holy Spirit. Just receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. Build your life upon the power of God available to you in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit. This is the firm foundation. I build upon the firm foundation. I am saved by Jesus. I am enabled, empowered, sustained by the Holy Spirit and Him alone. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I receive you, Holy Spirit. I receive you, Holy Spirit. I receive you, Holy Spirit. Lord, may there be many in this room, like our dear friend, may there be many in this room upon whom your Spirit rests in power. May there be many in this room filled to overflowing. May there be such an anointing on their life that there would be a residue that would affect their home and their workplace tomorrow. Lord, we remember the things that you've said. Forgive us for when we've turned to the left or the right. We hear your voice saying, this is the way. We're coming back to it. We're coming back to you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we're giving you all of this year that is ahead of us. All of this year that's ahead of us. Wherever we go, whatever we do, fill us, empower us in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. I pray fresh grace, particularly upon those living stones that were built into this building years and years ago. Fresh grace and fresh strength for you. Fresh grace where there has been weariness. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength and rise up with wings as eagles. They shall walk and not get weary. They shall run and not get faint. The other way around. I said that back to front. Fresh grace. Fresh grace. fresh grace. Fresh grace. There's fresh grace coming on the living stones, and God's making room for more living stones. There will be more living stones, VCC. There will be more living stones. There will be more children as living stones, more young people as living stones. More living stones. More families. More singles, more younger, more older, more living stones. Great grace, great grace. Great grace. Great grace on Warwick for the ministry with the men. There will be more men built in as living stones, fiery hearted, fiery, believing, Holy Spirit filled men who will burn before their families with a fire that does not consume them. I pray for you as individuals. Now I want to pray for you as a church. I want you now to just change your mindset. Imagine yourself as a church, as a building built together, living stones, each one with its place. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ as the cornerstone. Lord, I pray for VCC, not by might, not by power, by my Spirit, says the Lord. Lord, you have sustained this church, and I thank you now, Lord. Let there come great anointing upon this church to be a sign that will amaze and encourage and strengthen and correct the body of Christ. Lord, I pray, let your anointing rest upon this church from the youngest to the oldest and everyone in between. Let your anointing rest on every gathering of this church. Leaders' meetings, discipleship, Bible study, prayer, Sunday. Let there be so much anointing that there would be a residue that would be like a resounding echo to anyone that would walk in this room. Thank you, days will come when people will be born again because of the effect that it had when they walked in the room. There's great anointing there now. Just receive that, BCC. Receive it. There's anointing. Receive it. Receive it. Receiving is a faith step first and a feeling thing second. I receive that anointing now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for people that will be saved, set free, healed, redeemed, reconciled. Thank you, Lord, that words of life will be spoken here that will break chains of curses and bondage. Thank you that there will be such a sharp, prophetic, pure prophetic voice that is released through this church, that great accuracy, even down to great details, will be released. That even in the days ahead, people in government or law enforcement will come to even to this church and they say, will you pray? We need to hear. We don't know what to do. We need to hear. God will show himself through the testimony of this church to be the revealer of mysteries. Even crimes will be uncovered. And syndicates of evil will be broken up. Just receive, receive, receive. More of your presence, Lord. 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 Let hearts be set on fire in Jesus' name. Come on, hang in there just a few more minutes, VCC. Just a few more minutes. God, we ask for more. More, Lord. More, Lord. Come on, I dare you. Be the hungriest person in the room. I want more of your presence. I don't need religion. I need you, Holy Spirit. I don't need a formula. I need you, Holy Spirit. I need your presence resting on me. I need your fire burning in my heart. Holy Spirit, come. Shubba helamasa. Holy Spirit, stir up the gifts in these living stones. Stir up the gifts in these living stones. Faith and miracles, healing and prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discernment, tongues, the interpretation of tongues. Let all your gifts be stirred up. Oh, Karabasiala Masad, it's going to get wild for VCC. And I prophesy a storm warning over you, a storm of the Holy Spirit, a revival storm with great waves crashing. And I thank you, Lord, and I thank you, Lord, and I thank you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, I thank you, Lord, I thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We receive, we receive, we receive. Father, I thank you that everything that you will do with VCC goes far beyond VCC. Lord, we thank you that what you will do here is for the city of Auckland, this beautiful, wonderful place with 1.5 or so million people in it. God, we pray for our city. Pour out your Spirit. We pray for our land, for these islands that we live on at the ends of the earth. Pour out your Spirit. Lord, I pray, Lord Jesus, that there would be a great grace on VCC to be found ready for all that you will do. For all that you will do when people will gather here, and for all that you will do as people are sent from here. Just for a few more moments. Just wait and receive. How many of you by faith you received that anointing? Just give me a wave if you just did. How many of you were aware of a tangible sense of God's presence as we were doing that? Give me another wave. Okay. Great. Can I ask you a strange question? Do you feel encouraged? I felt like that was my mission today. Now just a couple of things. This gentleman back here, yep, you there, sir. Yep, with your hands like this. I just see the Spirit of the Lord is also resting on you, and I feel like He's resting on you with intent. And so I don't know what you're about or where you're going or what you do, but I want to encourage you this week to have a bit of a Samuel moment. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Okay, so the Spirit of the Lord is resting on you. I think there's been a longing in you for more of Him. And He's resting on you. And it's a really good time just to draw aside, take time, say, speak, Lord, I'm listening. Okay? Does that make sense? Okay? Now, this couple I was rudely picking on before, God bless you. Are you a couple or are you friends? Okay, you're nodding. She's got her eyes closed. That's all good. I was asking the Lord about the marking. And I saw a picture of, you know, when they do like a triathlon and they stamp a number on the shoulder of the athletes before the race. And I saw you being stamped like that, like before a race. And I believe and sense that what the Lord is saying to you too is that He is marking you and stamping you for a race. And again, I don't know you, I don't know where you're at, and I'm not in any way criticizing anything, but I feel like he's calling you off the sideline in a way and into a race that he wants you to run. The race that was marked out for you, where you fix your eyes on Jesus and run with perseverance. I also see this picture of my grandson building with his Duplo. You know, he's got the you know, he's not up to Lego yet, so he's got Duplo, the bigger bits. And he likes putting the pieces together, and he gets frustrated when they're not in the right place. And I just see the Lord setting you in place. The right people around you, the right anointing, the right, putting you in place for the race that you will run. Okay? So he's marking you, and he's calling you off the sideline to run a race, and he's going to set you in exactly the right place. Does that make sense? Okay. Just looking at this beautiful little one over here. Isn't that just the best way to be? Just being held, and isn't that just like a picture of rest? I just think that's excellent. Is that a wee girl? I wonder who she will be as she grows. I wonder what God will do with and through her. You know, we can look at a little one like that and we can wonder. We go, I wonder. We need to maintain that also. What will God do from here? I'm 56 years old. I'm older than last time I saw you. What will God do from here? What will God do from here? When our friend Cindy Ruakere, she would come and lead worship in our church, and she would often just sing, "May we never lose our wonder." When we come in here, think about what we do when we come in here next Sunday morning. We come in here to meet, they're excited. We come in here to meet with God. May we never lose our wonder. When you sit at home and you draw aside and you open your Bible, you are reading a record of words that God spoke, of things that he said. May we never lose our wonder. Religion has the formula, but it loses the wonder. I had a moment the other day where I was sitting in the lounge and I was looking at my wife. I'm nearly finished, I promise. And I was looking at my wife, and we've been married coming up 32 years. And I was, did someone say whoa? Like, well, whoa. Like we hear on, you know, if you're watching TV and there's a couple there, oh, we've been married 17 years. You're like, novices. We've been married 32 years. And I still sometimes look at her and I'm like, wow, you still amaze me. You're still so wonderful and so weird and so different and so unfamiliar to me. May we never lose our wonder. Okay. Don't you think that a church filled with wonder is probably going to be very effective at answering the longing of a generation bored and sold alive? One more time, I keep going, wanting to give an altar call, and I actually don't think I'm supposed to today. I don't think I'm supposed to. I think it's supposed to be this way. Lord, we receive. We love you. We love you. Lord, let your anointing run through these chairs. Let your anointing dash around this room, touching people, filling them and strengthening them. May your spirit rest on individuals all across the place and on this church as a body. May each one be encouraged and strengthened. May there be fresh fire and fresh anointing. We love you, Jesus. We ask for more. May there be fresh stirring in their life this week. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It shall surely come to pass, the things that you have spoken over this church, that you birthed in the fire and you have sustained through the fire. And now you're going to make this church to be a sign that will amaze. And I thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, let fresh anointing be on
Patrick and Sue and the leaders and the elders, their fresh anointing be upon them in Jesus' name. Their fresh anointing be upon Jonathan and all the young ones in Jesus' name. Let fresh anointing be released on the children's ministry and the children's leaders. Fresh anointing over this worship team, over Kenny and this whole team. In Jesus' name, fresh fire and anointing. Fresh anointing. Oh, there's fresh. Just take more. Sorry, I'm trying to finish. There's more. You just feel there's more. There's more, more, more. Ooh, more. More anointing. More anointing. If you're inclined to do so, gently put a hand on the shoulder of the person beside you. Pray more. Just put your hand on their shoulder. More. More, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. Maybe this is the ultimate.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I was just kneeling down there, and I had this very strong feeling that, like, I was really, it was like I was kneeling at ground zero. Not ground zero, you know, like in New York, but ground zero for something in New Zealand. I wonder if, just for a moment, can we all just come and stand on the altar? Just all of us. Let's just all just come, just for a moment, come and stand on the altar. Let's come and stand at ground zero. Let's just come and take a moment, put ourselves before the Lord. Friends, you're not putting yourself before me or before the worship team. Come, put yourself before the Lord. Let's all just take a moment, stand on the altar. Let's just stand on the altar. Lord, we're here. Standing on this altar for you. We're here for you. We want you. We're here for you, Lord. Here is my life, Lord. Here is the family of the church, Lord. Here we are. Prophecies, all the testimonies from the decades gone by, all the prophecies about the years ahead, Lord, we come and we put them all on the altar before you. all the battles, all the prayer. We put it all before you. Here we are, Lord. Here we are. Here we are, Lord. Focus very firmly on Jesus. Those of you that are part of the ministry team, just very quietly, would you just begin to just move around from person to person, laying hands. Not ministering to them directly, just laying hands, just imparting. Those on the ministry team, just begin to move around the living stones, just laying hands on people, just going from person to person. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit.